there. But as you can see, I just wanted to share, just to show you back in the 50s what the expectations were, because this is the Real Housewives of the Rock Church. And nowadays, you know, it went from the 50s to something very wholesome and probably too high of expectations, right? And we're going to go through the high expectations with the paper in your hands. But then it went to the 70s where everyone burned their bras. And then here we are now, you know, in 2012, and our examples are on Bravo. And, you know, there's just, you know, Oprah's an example, and all these, The View, you know, for us how to be housewives. So just some different, just some interesting examples over the past few decades. But why don't we do this? Let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and jump into this workshop. By the way, my name's Pastor Michelle. So, and Pastor Jess and I are going to be doing this workshop. So I'm sure you guys, if you don't know us, that's who we are. My husband and I are the youth pastors. And okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the chance to dive into your word, God, and to learn about this. How practical is this, and how awesome is it that you actually talk about it in your word? So Holy Spirit, come into this room. We want to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll read a few of these. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but this is a good wife's guide. So how to be a good wife. Ready? Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is the way of letting him know that you've been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of the warm welcome needed. So every night needs to be his favorite dish, okay? Not just make sure you make a note of that. Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so that you're refreshed when he arrives. Touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair, and be fresh looking. He has just been with a lot of work-weary people. Be a little gay and a little more interesting for him. So make yourself interesting, all right? His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it. Clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives. Gather up school books, toys, paper, etc., then run a dust cloth over the tables. Over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare a light fire for him to unwind by. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too. After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with immense personal satisfaction. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces. If they are small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing that part. Minimize all noise at the time of his arrival. Eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. Wow. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him. That actually is a very good one. Okay. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please and listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of the conversation are more important than yours. It's the flesh rising up, right? Okay. Make the evening his. Never complain if he comes home later or goes out to dinner or other places of entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand that his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to get home and relax. Your goal is to try to make sure your home is a place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. Don't greet him with complaints and problems. Don't complain if he's late home for dinner or even if he stays out all night. Count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through the day. Oh yeah. Okay, make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or have him lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Arrange his pillows. Offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soothing, and pleasant voice, because that always happens in my house. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he's the master of the house, and as such, will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. A good wife always knows her place. So, interesting, right? Now, one thing I do want you to realize, I don't know about you, but some of these things I do try to do. I do try to make sure my house is clean when he comes home. It's not every week, but specific days. There's like certain days, especially our days off, or, you know, Thursdays are kind of a slow day, or Fridays are a slow day, and I do try to do that. In fact, there is great satisfaction. I don't know if it's as great as, you know, a good night's sleep, but, you know, great satisfaction in having a delicious meal, or when you cook for your family, for them to say, that was delicious. I mean, does anybody else like that? It feels good. It feels good when they're full and they're relaxed and having a good time. So I think definitely there's some stuff to take from it, but definitely, like, you know, if my husband was out all night, I would be like, you better give me that GPS right now. Okay? No. But some unrealistic stuff. So what we're going to go through today is kind of the Real Housewife, who is she? How many people worked before they had kids and were at home with their kids and stuff? Okay, so does anybody work now? You have a job now. Awesome. Okay, so you are amazing, okay? And I know for me, when I worked, probably, I think, 8 years, and then I did part-time, and then finally just 2 years ago, I came home altogether. And so it was definitely an adjustment for me. I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes you can kind of lose yourself a little bit and kind of say, whoa, you know, everybody used to, like, tell me how great of a job I did, and we would get, like, monthly awards for, like, the work we did. And now, you know, hey, honey, can I just take off your shoes? I won't talk to you about anything. You know, that's what they're expecting us to do, and it's just not realistic. And I think sometimes we can lose ourselves, but that's why we need to go to the Word of God and see who we are and what has God designed us to be. You know, we can't go to, The View. I can't ask Barbara Walters. I can't ask, you know, Joy. Was that her name, Joy? Yeah, don't get me started on Joy. Okay, I can't ask Oprah. I can't ask Ellen. I can't ask, you know, all these people who are putting a lot of influence into our lives, especially if you watch The Real Housewives. You know, not that anybody at this church ever has seen an episode of The Real Housewives. No, I'm not joking. I went to watch it because we were thinking about doing a funny skit, but we didn't get enough time to. But I started watching it. I couldn't stop watching it. I was like, her daughter got married without telling her mom? Like, I couldn't stop. It was like drawing me in. So, but it's not, you know, not healthy. Not good for you. Okay, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And Pastor Deborah read this last week. Yes, I did it. I'm so proud of myself. I'm learning how to do this whole iPod thing. Okay, and while you do that, I saw this funny little thing. It said, today's modern woman, clean house, healthy dinner on the table at dinner time, fit, trim, and well-groomed, works full-time, laundry done, and put away, great sex life. Pick any two. Okay? Because every day you cannot be that woman, right? Every day that's a lot of expectation. And so there's a lot of expectations on us. But again, let's go to the Word of God, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And Pastor Deborah read this. There's some weird buzzing. Thanks, Jess. We get a little distracted. Okay, but she read this last week. How many people were here last week? I think, actually, you guys might have all been out. No, you guys were all there. Okay, 1 Timothy 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Just switch one over. Okay. Yeah, it's wrong. Okay. Thanks, moms. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. It's okay. 1 through 7. It says this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, Pastor Deborah read that last week, and I thought it was a good launching for that's who we are not. We are not that, girls. Because I know, and I feel this way, so I know you have to feel this way, that my household will follow God. My household will be a place of peace. My household will be strong in the ways of the Lord. And it's not going to be like this. I refuse to be a gullible woman. And see, if you sit in front of the TV and you compare yourself to the examples on TV, you're being a gullible woman. If you believe everything that Oprah says, then honey, you're swallowing a lie. Because God has something better for you. You're stronger than that. Your faith is stronger than that. You know, when I was in high school, I always thought it was so unfair to be a girl because it seemed like the boys always had so much fun. And it seemed like the boys got away with so much. Not that I wanted to be a boy, although I was a major tomboy. I played every sport. I was, you know, my father taught me archery like at the age of 5. Like I was just a big tomboy. Okay. But I would look at high school and think, guy, the occupations I want to do, it's like boys are doing them. And it just seemed unfair. And then I got saved around the age of 16 and I started really getting to know my youth pastors and Pastor Donna, who was a great example, you know, and now her and her husband do a church plant in Coachella Valley. But I started to get to know her and I thought to myself, that's strength. That's godly strength. That's not weakness. That's not weakness that I somehow believed a lie that women are weak and, you know, women can't do anything. And, you know, I remember I would go to our women's Bible studies when I was about 17 years old. And for somebody who probably didn't think that it was fun to be a girl, I would walk into those Bible studies and I would hear Pastor Deborah preach. And I'd say, I want to be that girl. I want to have that faith. I want to have that strength in my life. And so girls, don't come into this workshop, and I know I'm wearing a cute little apron, okay, but it's not just going to be about that. Yes, we're going to give cooking tips and, you know, cleaning tips and how to raise your kids and stuff like that, but also you need to have some strength inside of you. You need to have something inside of you that says, you know what, I'm going to have that faith that I'm going to raise my kids right and they are going to do something for God. I am doing something important. What I do is important. Don't let the devil rob you of that. So with that said, I'm going to give you just 2 points and then Pastor Jess is going to come up here and she's going to do her part. And we're both talking about what the real housewife is. Number one is this, is that the real housewife embraces her design. The real housewife embraces her design. You've been designed by God to do what you are doing. Don't think that you don't have enough talents, that you don't have enough time, that you don't have I don't know what it is, that you're not pretty enough, that you don't fit into the mold of the 2012 housewife. You have been designed by God to do what you're doing, and you can do it. You can be the wife that God's called you to be. It's inside of you. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and maybe you've heard these verses 100 times. Act like this is the first time you've heard them, because this stuff, when you feel like you can't do it, you go back to these scriptures and you remind yourself. In Psalm 139:1, it says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me." God knows you. God knows your struggles. God knows your what you're not good at. God knows what you are good at. He knows you. It says, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path." Sorry, I get distracted. So are you. I know you are. Okay. Should I just take it off? Okay, thanks, honey. That's my husband. He's so good. Okay. "You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." It's hard to understand sometimes how you're going to get the job done. It's hard to understand how you're supposed to have a close relationship with your husband, but maybe trust has been broken. It's hard to understand how you're supposed to pay the bills and have a budget and also keep your kids eating healthy. Hello? You know, it's hard to be able to do that. But know this, that God knows you. He's hedged you behind you and before you. The finances are going to be okay. You have the ability to stick to a budget. Okay, I know sometimes we just want a magical prayer. Well, if you just pray for me, won't finances just boost up into my, you know, ATM account? No. Okay, you have the ability to stick to a budget. You have the ability to be sexy and to turn on your husband. You have that ability. God knows you, and he's prepared a way. In fact, go ahead and flip the page. And if you go to verse number 14, it says this. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. You are designed by God and you are marvelous. Everything inside of you, every talent, every freckle on your face, though you may not like it, God has designed it and it's beautiful. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You have been designed by God. So don't get down on yourself about what you're not good at. Don't get down on yourself about what you're not doing. You know, guilt seems to come with the job, don't you think? I mean, it's like you try to raise your kids one way, and then there's an article that says, oh, no, they're not supposed to be drinking soy. No, they are supposed to be drinking soy. What have I done to my child? Okay, I mean, SpongeBob, you know, corrupts the brain. Like, I mean, there's all these different articles, and you think, but I let them watch SpongeBob. It's just, we can just beat ourselves up. But I want you to know that you are designed by God, and embrace it. Embrace your strengths. And embrace your weaknesses because you're not perfect. And don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't compare yourself. Comparison robs you of what you're good at. Comparison will take away your joy. And comparison is not godly. Everybody's designed differently. And I want to go through real quickly. This is very practical. But have you guys heard of the four different temperaments or personalities? There's sanguine. How many people have heard of this? Choleric, melancholy, and phlegmatic. Okay, so I know those are big, you know, words that maybe we haven't heard before, but I want you to know that there's different personalities that people are designed with, and you have a different personality makeup. Most people are not just one, they're a combination of different ones. But I have one, and God's designed me to be a certain way, so why would I personality? It doesn't make sense. I will discipline my kids the way that my personality is. Maybe some people think it's just of the devil to ever let your kids sleep with you in bed. Guilty. Okay, I mean, there's different personalities that, and let me explain it to you. Okay, so sanguine, maybe this is you. You're outgoing, you're responsive, you're warm, you're friendly, you're enthusiastic. Okay, so maybe that's where you're at, all right? Or a choleric person is strong-willed, independent, visionary, practical, decisive, and a leader. That's a different personality. Melancholy. You're gifted. You're analytical. You are self-sacrificing. You're a hard worker. You're self-disciplined. And then the last one is phlegmatic, which means maybe you're a little calm, quiet. You're very easygoing. You're dependable. You're efficient. And you're organized. Okay? So those are the positives. Now here's those are the strengths. Now here's the weaknesses. Are you guys with me? Or have I lost you? Okay. Okay. Sanguine, the outgoing one, sometimes you tend to be a little undisciplined, a little emotionally unstable, sometimes not very productive with the checklist. Maybe you exaggerate a little bit with the story. You're a little egocentric. Maybe the world revolves around you. Okay, the okay, maybe you're domineering. Maybe you're a little sarcastic. Maybe you seem to be angry or cruel. All right, so those are kind of the weaknesses. Melancholy, the gifted person, the self-sacrificing person, disciplined person tends to be moody, self-centered. They are sometimes revengeful, touchy. They're not very social. They're critical. They're negative. So those are the weaknesses. And you know, maybe you're saying to yourself, gosh, you know, I didn't know I was that personality. Don't get mad at yourself. Listen, the sanguine moms, you have the most fun. I mean, you take your kids to the water parks, you throw some awesome parties, but maybe your floors are a little bit sticky. All right? right? Well, the choleric person, I mean, their house is clean. They have their checklist. They know what they're doing. Every kid is in order. Everything is perfect, but maybe the kids are, you know, wanting to have a little bit of freedom, but you're not allowing that. So if a choleric person were to judge a sanguine person and say, oh, they're out of control. Everything in their house is out of control. There's no order. That's not fair because you're comparing them and they're two different people. See, embrace your design. What are you good at? And it's okay that maybe the beds aren't made because the kids are having fun right now. You need to teach them that discipline. You need to realize you have weaknesses and work at that. But don't judge yourself so hard because guilt comes with the package of the mom. But that's from the devil. That's from the devil. Number two, let's talk about who is she? Number two is that she lives with purpose. You live with purpose. What you do is important. And only you can do it right now. What you do is important. What you do is so important that you exchange a day of your life to do it. So don't let the devil rob you of that joy. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom our whole life. And she would have to remind herself that what she does is important because she would get comments that was like, oh, you only stay at home. I don't know if anybody's gotten that comment before, but, oh, is that what you, oh, you only stay at home. And that's not the truth. You stay at home. You raise your kids. You bring peace to that household. What you do is important. See, you can either neglect your children or nourish your children. Each of them is going to bring a result, but what result do you want? You can either neglect your husband or nourish your husband. What is going to be the outcome of that marriage? You can either neglect yourself or nourish yourself with the word. Even, I'm telling you, exercise is not just something so that we look like the front of a magazine, but it actually helps you with your mind and your joy and your emotions. You are important, so live with purpose. Don't just float from day to day, but live on purpose. God designed you for a purpose. And in Proverbs 16:3, another way to put it is that when you live on purpose, you commit your days to God. You commit your projects to God. You commit that meal to God. And when you commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit those works to God and watch your day go good. Watch it flourish. Commit those outings to Chick-fil-A where you just know someone's going to have a tantrum, okay? Just commit it to God and know that you are nourishing your family and this is a purpose to have fun. Live on purpose. You know, I started thinking about it and it's like we can almost be like the Swiss Army mommy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you have a purpose because you can do everything. Like you can nurse the child in the morning and then you get him dressed and then you're the hairdresser and then you're taxiing around and then you're the tutor because you're helping them with homework and then you're the sexy mama at night for the husband. I mean, you are Swiss Army mommy. You can do it all. You have a purpose. You have a design. And don't let anybody rob that from you. You can do it. In Ephesians 4, the only way we can do this is by the grace of God. Amen. And do you guys know the definition of grace? Everybody does, right? Should we all say it together? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. That's how you're going to get it done, is by the grace of God. And everybody has grace for their purpose. I cannot have the grace for the purpose of my friend Krista, who owns a ballet studio and works hours in the week, and then she's also an amazing mom. Like, that's not who I'm called to be. I'm called to be me. I'm called to be a pastor. So there's a grace on me to do that, just like maybe there's a grace on you to do whatever you're doing that God has called you. Maybe you do Avon. You know, there's a grace on you to do that. What? Maybe you have five kids. There is not a grace on me to have five kids. But that grace is on you. You have the grace to raise that blended family. Each person has been given that grace. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You have that grace. You can do it. You can live for that purpose. What you do is important. And then my last verse, and then Pastor Jess is going to come up here, is in 2 Timothy 1. Oh, I fell behind on my stuff. I did have something funny to show you. But it's just in my PowerPoint, so it doesn't really line up with what I'm talking about right now. I love routine until I'm bored, then I love excitement. Until I'm overwhelmed, then I love routine. Okay? Go through phases in your life. Great. Okay? You will not always be nursing forever. Everything changes. When I had my 4-year-old daughter, the last week of work, I was pregnant. I was 9 months pregnant, and we put on the largest youth conference in Southern California out of a local church. I mean, it was the largest youth conference. I mean, that's pretty big. That's pretty amazing. Wow. And then a few weeks later, I was nursing a child that never stopped. I mean, I felt like he never got full. That's all I did was sit down and nurse him, you know, and I was chasing after Bella, like, okay, come here. All right, I don't know if you ever learned how to walk when you nurse, but you can do it. Okay, but it was like my purpose changed overnight, but I had to find it. Because suddenly the devil will come in and try to tell you, well, remember, you used to, you know, minister to this many kids, and you got to remind yourself, well, no, I'm ministering to two now. And those two are who God trusted. Because I'm praying over them is going to help them go farther than you. So live on purpose. Okay.
That was good.
Thank you. Hi, Missy. This is my sister.
One of the Sandell. So she runs all.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes. Yeah,
check, baby. Check, oh, baby. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Is it working? Is it working? Can you hear me now? All right. Whoops. So that was so funny. Now, you know, the 50s housewife is just, to me, hilarious. Like, I think my grandma probably was that woman. Dad's mom. No, no, no. She raised my dad and called her mom to come, like, do all the work while she, like, recovered. So, you know, that's different. But my mom's mom, she stuck through hell and back with my grandfather. She was a woman of faith. She told me back when she was young, divorce wasn't even legal. So she couldn't divorce him. So even though he was being horrible, it wasn't an option. And so that wasn't that long ago. They're still alive, you guys. And yet I think so many times in our family units, we get divided. I have the right, and I have the right, and it's my right. And instead of, how about some hard work? How about let's look at ourselves, and maybe we need to change first, and then everybody else in our home will follow. We set the tone. You know, a happy wife is a happy life, or if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. You heard those sayings? It's true. Because, and, you know, this pulpit is so high. I feel like, gosh, you know, I'm like, can I just have a table? So, anyways, but, you know, there is times and seasons for everything. And we really just want to talk in this group about, you know, what a real housewife is in God's perspective. Not what the world says, not what you think you're supposed to do because your grandmother or your mother, who was maybe not saved or not saved, taught you. But we want to teach you what God says about being a housewife. And when I say housewife, that is a new term even for this day and age. A housewife does work. A housewife doesn't work. You know, it doesn't matter anymore. Now somebody has a job or you don't have a job. I used to work just like Michelle, and I raised 2 kids working. And that was quite a job. I do have to say, now that I'm home, I think it's harder, believe it or not. And the reason I say that is because at least when I was at work, I had adult conversation. I feel stupider now from watching Mickey Mouse every day. So I am now dumber from cartoons. No, I remember, like, I could go to lunch. You know, you get a lunch break. What a concept, lunch break, you know, like, And so I got to go on lunch with maybe friends or sit in the break room and at least talk with people, you know, like that was nice. And or run an errand without children hanging off of you asking you, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? You know, so if you see me at Trader Joe's, just pray for me and move on. Don't say anything. So that is how it goes, you know. And I just remember coming home and going, why did you tell me to come home? Because for me, it wasn't something I had ever said, oh, I want to be a housewife. I want to be home with the kids. And that was not me. I didn't like kids. I did not like little kids. I loved teenagers. I worked with teenagers and youth for a long time. I was ready for the teens. I loved them. Now I am deathly afraid of them because I have been with little kids for so long. I love little kids now, and I'm scared when they become teenagers. So, you know, God just has a grace for every season that you're in, and that's what I've learned. And the Lord had spoke to me on a Sunday night. Do you guys remember when we were doing prayer nights on a Sunday night? I was on the front row, and I remember the Lord saying, it was right after Daughters Conference, and it had been our biggest Daughters Conference. There was like 3,500 people there. It was like nuts, you know, and it was like a lot of work, and you know, the adrenaline's going, and you're just so glad to be a part of something for the kingdom, and you're just like seeing lives change, and I was just like on cloud nine, and the Lord said, get ready. You are going home. And I'm like, what? Well, no, we need to financially. What do you mean? Well, if I'm telling you to go home, I'll take care of you financially. And I'm like, but I don't want to go home. And he's like, well, you're going to go home because you're going to have another baby. And I'm like, oh no, I'm done. Micah has done me in. I am good. Now, if you don't know my Micah, he is a handful, and he was 10 pounds, 4 ounces, and just like me. So I don't mind. I love him. But I was done. I was really good. I was happy. I'm on the golf course with my friend over there. Finally, I got to go play golf because I like playing golf. So you need to find something you like doing. I like golf. We were on the golf course, and yes, I'm looking at you because Robin says, I think we should have another baby. Let's do it together this time. And I go, oh gosh, you know, and I'm thinking, God just told me that. That's kind of weird, you know, like, and it takes me forever to get pregnant. Not kidding you. Like a week later, guess what? Mama is knocked up. So, and Robin didn't get pregnant with me. This happened 3 times, by the way. Our kids wouldn't be a year apart if it were for her doing it when she said she would. So, the funny thing is, like, when Titus was in my womb, I was really like, this has to be God, because first of all, it takes me forever to get pregnant. Second of all, I love my job. I love working. I love, you know, serving the house of God with everything in me. And the Lord said, yeah, but your house is first. And you've been a PK, and PKs tend to hate the house of God when they grow up, because their parents work so hard at helping all of you that their families get neglected. And so the Lord said, that ain't going to happen at the Rock. We are going to raise up a generation differently, and they are going to love the people, but the house of God will be the hearts of your children. And he said, in order for that to happen, your foundation has to be firm. And so I went home, and I knew I was in obedience. It took me a year to mourn. I mean, I had 1 year. I remember January 1st, he told me, and January 1st, I was out that next year. And I'll never forget, December 31st was like a service night, and Ellen and her mom were like, okay, so we'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I'm not coming back. And they were like, yeah, right. We don't believe you. We don't believe you. We don't believe you. You'll be here tomorrow. You'll be here tomorrow. I'm like, Eleanor, you have my job. Like, you better learn it, you know, like, because I ain't coming back. And so, and sure enough, I was getting phone calls the next day. Why aren't you here? Well, I don't work there anymore. And there was such a transition in my life. And when those 2 years began, man, the diapers were crazy. The temper tantrums were nuts. The getting on their level and communicating with them and figuring out how they tick and why they need to be disciplined. And I can see how if a mom does not stay on her guard and on her toes, and if you're a grandma in here raising your grandkids, it's now you. You have to be there at those moments for correction. You have to be there for those moments of learning. You have to be there for those moments of equipping them to be the people they need to be and pull out the God-given talents like she talked about with you. You need to pull those out in your children, and you will be the one to pull them out actually in your husbands as well. And some of you are single moms and you say, I don't have a husband. We'll start praying for the husband that you know you need to have, because
this J and H, families are made up of everything. I come from a blended family. How many of you are from a blended family in here? Or you are raising a blended family? Okay, so that is normal now. You know, it's interesting. My daughter, she goes to school, and she came home the other day, and she's talking about somebody's sister who lives far away. They prayed for her, and she goes, that's just not normal. And I go, oh, sweetheart, we are not normal. We are not normal. Like, the fact that you have your mom and dad in the home and that we are all from the same parent, you kids are all from the same parent, is not normal. And she goes, but that's so sad. And I said, you can think of it that way, or you could think of it as God has restored what the enemy has tried to break, and these families are now coming together, and the Lord is going to build up these families and awesome generations to come out of these families. Because everyone needs a parent. Everyone needs that love. And maybe you didn't get that when you were growing up. Maybe you weren't loved by your mom or your dad, but listen, you now have an opportunity to be that for your children. You now have the opportunity to be that answer for a baby that needs you. So maybe you've adopted, maybe you've, you know, raising, maybe you're raising like your sister's kids. Who knows what you're dealing with? Because I know that we have every range and every walk in here, and everybody's doing a job. And we are all working hard. Would you say that? Do we agree? We work hard around here. So I wanted to talk today, and then next week I'm going to get into parenting. But today we're going to talk about who are you? Because, see, you won't be a good parent, you won't be a good wife, you won't be a good church member, you won't do anything good in your life if you don't know who you are. And it's very easy to get yourself caught up in the needs of everyone around you, and then you're kind of like, I'm lost. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from older ladies that have raised their families and taken care of their husbands, and then they leave. They leave. They say, well, it's my turn now. It's my turn now. It's my... Excuse me, it ain't your right to leave your family ever, number one. And you worked hard, but what did you do that for? Just to get brownie points or something? I mean, this is a lifetime commitment. This is not you get to opt out later on, okay? So let me just put that little note out there. But embrace what it is you've been given. Because everything you have been given is a gift. And you, it's all perspective. You can think of it as, oh, this is annoying. My husband is annoying. This is annoying. My kids are driving me nuts. I get it. I've had those days. We all do. And you're not a sinner because you yell at your kids. Okay? But what you need to do is you need to really get a grip on yourself. And I'm going to teach you today how to kind of think about you and what your role should be in each of these areas. Number one, we're going to talk about family. I don't have PowerPoint. Sorry. Pastor Michelle's very good at technical things, and I'm not. So, but I'm going to talk about family. So would you turn with me to Proverbs 31? You know, we can read Proverbs 31, and it's almost like reading the 50s thing that Pastor Michelle pulled out. And you're like, really? You know, but I'm going to try and update it a little bit to, you know, I always read it and was like, there's just no way I will ever be this woman. But then the Lord and my husband started to show me, you really are this woman in modern day. And you do things maybe you don't recognize you do. So let's talk about it. Proverbs 31:10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies, and her heart of her husband safely trusts her. Let's stop there for a second. Rubies are actually more valuable than diamonds. Did you know that? Yeah. So God didn't just pick a diamond. You know, we say diamonds are girl's best friend. Maybe we should want some rubies, because rubies are actually more valuable than diamonds. So the Lord picked the best stone to compare us to. I love that. And she will have no lack of gain. I don't know about you, but I need some gain in my life. Maybe you need some gain in finances. Maybe you need some gain in some obedience around the house. Maybe you need some gain in whatever it is that you're believing God for. Well, listen, the Word says you will have no lack of it. So you need to tap into what God needs us to be then. Okay? Verse 12, it says, she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You're going, oh no, I went all ghetto on him last night. I told him where to go, where to put it, and what to do with it. No, listen, girls, we need to be careful what comes out of our mouths towards our husband. And I don't care how much of a fool he is acting like. You still need to be a godly woman, because you are a virtuous woman. And when a man is not acting righteous before God, God needs to deal with him on that. And you, guess what you need to do? You need to hit your knees and start praying that God does deal with him on it. You telling him where to go and what to do and how to do it isn't going to help him. It's going to turn him off more and push him away. And then he's going to go cheat on you. Don't be stupid. We're in this world now, and there are so many opportunities out there for our men to get caught up in sin, just like it is for you to get caught up in sin. So don't be foolish and think that God doesn't know what he's talking about. He does. Okay? So she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willing to work with her hands. I don't know about you, but I had to go find some summer clothes. All of a sudden, the heat hit, and my kids were like, Mom, these clothes don't fit me from last year, and they can't even walk straight. And I'm like, all right, I need to go, like, find some clothes. So I didn't even have it in my budget. I was, like, kind of freaking out about it. And so I went to Ontario Mills, okay, just a little tip here. When they have sales, you can buy clothes for nothing under, like, $5. I got, like, loads of clothes for all of my kids for, like, $3, $4, collared shirts, shorts. Like, you might say, Pastor Jess, kids are dressed well. Yeah, well, they are for cheap. And you know what? You don't have to look ghetto, but you can look nice, and you can still pay a good price. But you have to go look for it and search for it and put your hand to the plow. I cut coupons, girls. Oh, you don't cut coupons, Pastor Jess. I do. Ask Robin. I go from store to store to store. I shop in 4 stores in order to get. I love Marshalls. How many of you like those stores? How many of you hate them? Robin hates them. I don't take her with me, okay? So, and I don't take my kids. The key is if you can get a babysitter in those stores, I'm giving you little tips in between this, okay? If you cannot take the kids, you can actually find good deals. When you're getting distracted by the kids in a store like that, it's annoying. And you're like, God, this is so stupid. And then you're going to go, and then you're going to go pay up the butt, you know, for something else. I'm sorry, Pastor Jess is not, you know, I don't have a filter. So, don't do that. Get a babysitter, go to those stores, okay? So she says that she's willing to seek wool and flax. Well, back then, that's what they used. Now we use clothes, you know, cotton, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you need, you have to go look for it. And you have to be willing to work to look for it, okay? That's what he's saying. It doesn't just come to you, because we have sometimes, and especially in this area, a mentality of you owe me. I have the right to. No, you don't have the right to nothing. Get to work, put your hand to the plow, and work your butt off and find what's good for you. You know, I don't care. I don't care what you got, what the government says, what the world says about you. I know what God says about you. And God says that you can do more with him than you could do with anybody else. So listen, what the world is saying, you need to shut it out and shut it up. If that means you turn off your radio, if that means you turn off your TV, you, mama, you need to fill your spirit with the word of God, because your family is depending on it. So stop feeding your spirit crap and start feeding your spirit the word. Okay? Because what you put in is what you get out. All right? She seeks wool and flax and willing to work with her hands. She is like a merchant ship, and she brings her food from afar. That is so me. I go to Costco because I like healthy food. I have a certain bread that has, like, no chemicals in it, no high fructose corn syrup, none of that stuff. I'm like a Nazi about that stuff. And I go to Costco, and I can get that same bread for $3 in, like, 2 loaves of it, where if I go to Trader Joe's, I get 1 for $4. So I've learned that. So I will take the trip to Costco to get the toilet paper. I will take that one trip to get the 3 items, okay? And then I go to all these different stores to get healthy things. And so you guys have to do that. You need to really care enough about your family to take the time to be healthy, you know, and there's options for it. And I'm serious. I think healthiness is part of what God wants for us. Okay. Because if you're not, you're going to die off and your kids are going to be left without a mama. And that sucks. And you say, oh, God, Pastor Joe should be. No, we need to start taking care of the inside and the outside. You're willing to change your heart. You're willing to work on what God wants you to work on. Well, he also says that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to take time to take care of our families, girls. Do you know that the highest problem in America is obesity in children? And you say, well, how is that? Well, you know, what are you monitoring what your kids are eating? Or are you just saying, yeah, that's fine, go ahead, because I don't want to deal with you? Have it. Change taste buds. It takes 8 times to change their taste buds. So just keep grueling dinner. Believe me, Chloe hates, like, trying new food. She doesn't like things. But I sat there for hours. Chloe would be the only one at dinner. I'd be like, sorry, you have to eat your green beans. Sorry, you got it. Sorry, you're all by yourself. We're going to eat our dessert now, you know. And I'd be, like, making desserts for everybody. And she would just be so mad. Now she doesn't even mess with me. She's just, okay, I'm done, you know. But it takes a while. You have to be consistent, parents, okay? Go look for those things. Go make sure your family has the best. Verse 14, she is like a merchant ship and she breeds food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides her food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. I don't have a maidservant. That would be awesome. I dream about a maidservant. But my kids are my maidservants, so no, I'm just kidding. But she does rise. You know, how many of you notice that you're kind of the last one to go to bed and the first one up in the morning? How many of you grumble about it? Okay, well, I do. Pastor Jess does. And I'm looking over at Dan like, you went to bed before me. And then the kids are up and they're waking me up. I'm like, wake him up. You know, like, quit waking me up. And it's like, so I just don't sleep. I'm over it. And when I learned to get over it, and say, this is some quality time. This could be some me time right now, me and God, me, a cup of coffee, and God, whatever it is that I need to do, or maybe I could go throw that load in and swap this. There's always something that needs to be done. So get up early, get her done, you know, and just get it going. That's what she's talking about. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. I love this one. This is my favorite one. Every house that we have owned, my husband has not found. I have found that house. I've been the one looking. I've been the one praying for it. I've been the one saying, I'm already in faith for something else now. And believe me, I'm going to consider a field and I'm going to find a way to buy it. That means if I got to start a new business or if I got to do something, I'm going to do it. And listen, God has given you, inside of you, there is something there. We create, we make, we can do anything you put your mind to. You have God backing you. So what is stopping us in the Inland Empire? What is it? What is stopping us? You want to own a home one day? What's stopping you? What's stopping you? You want to like get a nice car one? What's stopping you? See, God is not just about nice things, but the Lord says, why do you sit there and lack when you have no need of lack, when I am your God, when I am bigger than that? She put her hand up. She considered a field and bought it. Listen, this is also a faith walk for you girls. What it is that you want for your family, keep your eye on it and start getting in faith over it. Start believing God for it. I'm looking at Julie right now, and Julie has wanted babies forever, and she's adopted too, and as you can see, Julie is pregnant. Finally, woohoo! And Julie has a rude awakening! No, just kidding. Twin babies! So, when she talked about nursing, are you going to nurse?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. So, no, I mean, it's a big deal. So, it's good, though, and what she worked for and what she believed God for, she is now seeing it come to pass, and the Lord will give her grace to do this. So whatever it is that's been in your heart that seems maybe untouchable, intangible, not able to be done, there's nothing too big for our God, okay? Nothing too big for our God. But I'm not going to let you stay here in this little world. You got to come out. It's time for us to rise up in the Inland Empire and say, no, God has our backs. We've got the biggest thing behind us, and that's God, all right? Let's see, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I like this one. I believe this one that I take is probably health. You know, she strengthens herself and she girds her arms. I don't know about you, but I get worn out by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, especially in summertime. Now, when the kids come home at 3 o'clock, that is the busiest time of my day in during the week. But, what I do, just so you guys know, I'm going to give you little tips, okay? You say, Pastor Jess, I used to be 45 pounds overweight, believe it or not, and I lost it all. And so the way that you do it is, get this, you eat right and you exercise. Yeah, what a concept. No diet pills, no fake, like, oh, if I do this or if I do that. Listen, guys, it's just simple. Eat right and exercise. Eat right and exercise. Start looking into food. Look at the packages on the back and say, if it has more than like 5 ingredients, it's, or more than, I think it's more than 10, right, Sarah? Is it more than 10 ingredients? It's not good for you. Yeah. If it's more than 10, look into the chemicals that go into those foods. Eat more like vegetables. Eat more fruits. You say, but that's expensive. Honestly, it's not. If you start looking around, go to a farmer's market. I spent like $15. You should have seen my refrigerator. I couldn't even close it. I was like, how am I going to cook all this in a week? It was like jam-packed with cauliflower and, you know, fruit from everywhere. And we ate it all, believe it or not. I ate it all. Butternut squash, all of it. And I prepare it to where my family actually does eat it. So listen, guys, you can do this. And that was $15. Like, you can't get, like, a pair of pants for $15. So do it. Feed your family strong. Take time for yourself, girls, and get some exercise. Okay? Now, if that means you're brushing your teeth and you're squatting, you brush those teeth and squat, okay? You're reading your word and you're like, amen, turn that page. You know, do what you gotta do. But get moving. You know, my kids always make fun of me because I'm around the house like, okay, I'm gonna run upstairs and put the laundry away. And I'm like, right upstairs, and I run back downstairs, and I run upstairs, and I'm, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just exercising while I'm putting stuff away. And I just, all day long, I keep myself moving. And I notice that my stamina, is that the word? Stamina has just really, I've been able to be up for Dan at night. I've been able to take care of the kids. It's been so much better. So just take care of yourself. So if you're feeling like you're lagging, if you're feeling like you're a little tired, it doesn't have to be an hour-long exercise and Julia Michaels is going to kill you. No, start small. Start small. Smart. Start simple, okay? And so God wants us to take care of ourselves, to strengthen yourself. Gird yourself up so you can handle the day's pressures, because they're coming, all right? She girds herself and says, she perceives her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out at night. I love that. You know, back then they had the wicks and the wicks needed oil. Do you remember the story about the women that went, I should have pulled this up. Anyways, I'm going on a different direction, that's why. But they ran out of oil, the one that ran out of oil, or they all did, and the one still had oil in her lamp because she took time to fill the oil. Stop for a moment. Make sure things are in order around your home. Make sure that things have their place because you don't want to run out. You don't want to get overdrawn. Do you ever, at the end of the day, be like, oh my God, I'm so done? Listen, I do too. I think all of us do. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of responsibility. I don't know about you. I do the bills too. I do it all. So the pressure's on me as far as the home. And listen, girls, that's a high pressure to carry. You have lives and people that are depending on you. So as much as, yes, your husband or whoever it is helping you provide, and you might be the sole provider. How many of you are your sole provider? You got pressures on you that are heavy. That's heavy. Take it a little at a time. You don't have to be the perfect house cleaner. You don't have to be the perfect, you know, person to feed your children. Just try when you do have time. Oh, well, maybe that's a good deal. I'm going to get that right now. You know, or have a friend help you. Ladies that are single moms that don't have help, take help. When people offer it, say yes. My sister's a single mom, and she never says yes. It drives me insane. And finally, I had to, like, shake her and be like, would you let me help you? I understand you're trying to learn how to do it all yourself, but we are family here. You need to pull on the people that are in your world that love you and want to support you and want to do life with you. This church loves you. Come get some food here. Maybe I'll one less stop at the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? Like, do what it is you need to do to take care of your family, but also say yes to help because God has given us each other for this, okay? She perceives her merchandise, sees that it's good. Her lamp does not burn out. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hand holds a spindle. So she makes her clothing, obviously. She extends her hand to the poor. Honestly, it's not cheaper to make your clothing now. You can actually go and buy it to yourself. You know, if you want to do it for a craft, it's cool, but it's not cheaper. I looked into it. It's not. So she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes her tapestries for herself. Her clothing is of fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among elders in the land, she makes linen garments and sells them, and she supplies sashes for her merchants. See, she was a working woman. She didn't just, you know how they say, you stay home, mom. No, she worked. I liked Robin and Tim taught me this. We work hard for no money, girls, if you are a stay-home mom. You work hard for no money. That's how it works. And then it says, she makes her linens and her supplies, her strength and honor are her clothing, and she rejoices in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. I don't know about you, but I want my husband to praise me. Okay? And I want my children to rise and call me blessed. So that is your thing. But listen, guilt and condemnation comes in. Pastor Michelle touched on it. I used to feel so guilty when I worked. oh gosh, you know, I remember my friends would call and they would say, you want to go out tonight? You know, like, girls' night out. And I'd be like, heck no. I haven't seen my kids all day long. I haven't even seen my husband, you know, at all. I need to be with the family. I would feel so bad. I'd never had my time ever. And that was hard, you know. So if you're a working mom, I get it. Like, your time is, you feel bad about working. I get it. But when you're home, you also feel guilty about things. Well, I wasn't able to provide my kid with this, and their friends got that. Or this mom was so much better at this than I was. Don't compare. What you compare becomes smaller. What you have is a blessing, and who you are is a blessing to your children. So take who you are and build that up into who God needs you to be. If you like something that somebody else does, I don't think it's bad to be like, hey, what they did was a cool idea. I'm going to do it too. You know, let's take tips from each other. Let's learn from each other. Let's glean with each other. Because when we are doing it together as a body and as a unified Christ, these children are going to be amazing. These husbands are going to be loved and blessed because their wives are who we need to be. We may not be from the 50s and, you know, take your shoes off for them. I love you, honey, but put your shoes away yourself. Like, you know, it's okay. We're in a different generation now. You know, it's nice when the husbands help us out. We got a lot going on. I don't think these women did go to work back then. You know, it was us. My grandma didn't work, you know. And so we are in just a different world now. The Real Housewives, and I'm not going to say ask if you've seen it, but you have. And, you know, these are rich ladies in these cities. And they go out to eat with their friends and, you know, get to drink it up or whatever. Don't become lushes. Your family doesn't need you to be a lush. And you know, they go and do all these things. They take trips. Oh, a girl's trip out. What? Come on. Who's with your kids then? Who's with your husband then? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not reality. Reality is being in the home is a blessing. You know, maybe you do a girl's night out, like, for a night. You know what I mean? But don't be gone from your family too long. That's stupid. You don't need that. Go play. Me and Robin, we'll go to the spa on Mother's Day. Okay, once a year. But, like, that once a year is awesome, you know, like, and last night I thought maybe I should paint my toes for you guys, and I thought, no, I'm not going to, because reality is, we don't paint our toes and nails until they're, like, half ripped off, this one is coming off, you know, so it's okay, that's who we are, right, but enjoy each other, you know, take time to be a girl, take time to be you, okay, and that's going to bring me to friends, but in Romans 8, I'm going to also read, therefore, there is no condemnation. That means no guilt, okay? To those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, and he has made me free from the law of sin and death. Guilt and condemnation does not come from God. He died on that cross, so you don't have to live in the guilt. And you don't have to live in the condemnation. So every time that starts to kind of sneak in, well, you weren't good enough, you didn't, you just say, go to hell. Get out of here, go to hell, out of here, all right? Number two, friends. That's funny. How many of you get to go out with your friends? Yeah, not very many of you. Some of you do. Yeah, once a month. It's good to make that time once a month. It's good to have those moments to be girls. It's good to have a breather. You know, it's funny. I know this sounds so cheesy, but sometimes I'm like, can I just go to Target without you? Like, I don't want you to come with me. You know, and he's like, why not? I just want to be with you. You know, like, Dan always just wants to be with me all the time. And I love that. But there's moments that you know what? I need to breathe. Like, I don't want to feel like I got to buy you something. Or I don't want to feel like I got to get the kids something to appease them, you know, or whatever. No, I wanted to just go look and touch and feel things. I don't want to be interrupted. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to go by yourself. And then it's sometimes nice to go with a friend. If you don't have a friend, come here, get in the table, start meeting people, find friends. How many of you found good friends being at the tables? I know a lot of you have. And so it's very important. I think God has those friendships planned. You know, you say, well, you know, I haven't met anybody. Well, are you friendly? Are you easy to be around? Are you annoying? Like, you know, you got to work at it. You know, the Bible says you have to be a friend to make a friend, okay? So that means you got to let yourself out there. This is hard for someone like me. I'm happy with my family. I like my husband and my kids. I could be with them every day, and I could not have friends, and I'll be okay with that. But the Lord said, no, 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 no. You need to have your friends. And, you know, me and Robin have been friends since we were in fifth grade. Me and her husband were best friends in eighth grade on. And then I introduced them, then they got married. So anyways, but these were friends that I've had for a lifetime. Now, you may not have a lifetime friend, but it doesn't matter. There are other friends that God brings into your world. I have some other friends, and it's so funny. I am not used to hanging out with friends. And I have some friends, and they like to hang out. And so I invite them over for, like, lunch or something. They stay for dinner, too. And me and Dan are like, okay, we're doing dinner, too. Like, this is new to us. We don't know what to do. But honestly, it's good for us to break down those walls, to learn how to laugh, to learn how to play, for our kids to see people in a different world, in a different realm, and how other families run and how other families do things. And it's a good learning lesson for your kids, too, because you may get together with another family that has kids, and, well, their mom lets them do that. Well, guess what? Your mommy doesn't let you do that, you know? And it doesn't mean that they're a bad parent. It just means, like Pastor Michelle was saying, they may be a different personality and they parent differently. Don't be judgmental and don't put that on your kids. So be careful of that, okay? But be a friend. Go out there. Put yourself out there. Try and be friendly. It's not always easy to do when you're busy. But try. Even if it's for an hour, maybe every couple months, just get yourself out of the house. You say, Pastor, it'd be nice to get my nails done. Well, maybe save up a couple dollars. I'm serious because I understand this. We feel guilty, girls, when we do something for ourselves. How many of you could say that? Oh, I could buy my kids clothes. And that's okay because they need it. But God forbid I don't look ghetto. You know, I mean, come on. It's time that we need to take care of ourselves a little bit too, okay? And so going out with the girls, maybe somebody, you want to invite them to go to dinner. Well, save up a couple bucks for a couple months and then you know you got it. And don't tell them you have it. You know, just be like, husband, you can't touch that money. That's mine. You know, and do what you need to do, but make sure you get out there and be a friend to make a friend, okay? Don't be a high-maintenance friend, okay? Don't be the friend that has to be, oh, girl, my life sucks, da-da-da-da. Okay, sorry, I am the type of person to be like, dude, like, okay. Everybody's life sucks. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, don't do that to your friends, you know? Play with your friends. Don't always give them your problems. Play with them. Then they'll want to be your friend. But if you're always like the high maintenance friend and you have to have them and God forbid they have other friends, if you start becoming like that, they're going to be like, peace out. Because that's not reality. You need to have friends. You need to be able to be in a group together with people and love each other. You need to have that. Okay. So I know when I have friends and when Robin has friends, I'm not jealous of that. She's not jealous of that. I'm just using her because she's right here in front of me. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you guys need to be able, me and Marisol, we've had dinner and lunch together. It's fun. I love being with them. You know, you guys need to find time and people. And Sarah, when we're together, it's so fun all the time. You know, but like, find people. And it may not be all the time, but that's not a high maintenance friend. When you get together, you enjoy each other's company. Okay, so just enjoy each other. Don't be so high maintenance. Don't overcommit. Maybe you find yourself overcommitting and then you find it as, oh my gosh, I am so tired. I'm trying to take care of the family. My friends want to do all this. I can't make everybody happy. Well, that's stupid. Stop. You know, if they don't understand, then they're not good friends. I mean, honestly, like, you have a family. You have kids. You have a husband. It's not reality to just go play all the time. Okay, so don't overcommit yourself and then frustrate yourself. And honestly, then you frustrate your family because they're like, what is her deal? Why is she always crabby? You know, so don't overcommit yourself. Make time to build relationships. That's friends. All right, am I too late, Michelle? Where am I at? Okay. And one last one, church. You know, we can be so busy in our house and seasons change. Kids are in school. We're going on vacation. We're doing this. We're doing that. Da, da, da. And all of a sudden, oh, well, I'll just miss Wednesday night service. Oh, I'll just miss Sunday night service. Oh, you know, we'll miss Sunday and we won't come. It'll be okay. We'll come next week. Oh, but then, man, the bed felt so good this morning. I didn't want to get out of bed. Oh, the baby was up all night. I can't go to church. Listen, you can't afford not to get your butt in church. Amen. Because you are not a good mom without it. And you say, well, you're just saying that because you're a pastor. Yeah, I am. Because I've seen hell hit the fan when people stop going to church. Because what happens is, when you come to church, you get into the presence of God. You get fed. Your soul gets filled up. The things of this world get pushed out and God gets put in. When you stay home, all these things are coming out. You're watching TV, you're watching your kids, your husband and you are fighting. Things are happening. And in order to get refilled back up and get yourself back into the spirit, get yourself back into the mode of mom, get yourself back into the mode, you need to get your butt in church. I used to work in young adults, and every time they would have a baby, so Julie, this is for you, girl. Every time they'd have a baby, they'd never come to church anymore. And it would be like 6 months, and I'd never see them. Oh, well, you know how it is. We don't sleep at night, and I'm nursing it. Okay, yeah. Well, I don't sleep at night, and I didn't nurse, but I love God enough to come and get myself filled up because I need that. Julie, you're going to need that. You are. So sit in the family room if you have to. Or you have a cute little nursing room back here. I don't know if you know about it. Do it. I loved that room. But find time to get yourself in church. If the family's coming, cool. If the family not coming, you come, mama. You need to be there, okay? And then not just church, but you need to be a part of what's happening at the church, okay? You need to put your hand to the plow. You say, but I'm already working at home. I'm already working with my kids. I'm already working with my husband. Listen, it's good for you to use your giftings in the house of God because God put those things inside of you and he wants those to be drawn out of you. And it's not just for the family, but it's to touch other lives as well. And everything that you're doing to build your family and how wonderful of a human being you are, you need to give that to someone else. They need your gift. They need they need the love that you have to give. So we're going to talk about this in Hebrews 24:25. Can you guys turn there? How many of you have your Bibles today? Bring them next week, okay? These are Bible studies, so we need to bring our Bibles. Just in case the PowerPoint doesn't work, okay? Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much that more that in the day is approaching. So what it's saying is, don't forsake the assembling of brethren together. Listen, we need to be together. You say, I don't feel like being around people. I'm with kids all day. I'm with husband all day. You think Pastor Jess likes to be around people all the time? I love you, but I don't. I'm tired. You know, and I live in a neighborhood where my neighbors are on top of me. They should sleep in my bed. Like, they are so close. You know, so I'm always with somebody. There's always something happening. But listen, it doesn't matter because then when I get into the presence of God and when I start praising God with the girls or, you know, the other night, it was Sunday night and we were tired and we went back and into the, there was a little room that we had Gina and we made her some food because she didn't eat all day or whatever. And Pastor Archibek and Dion were there, you know, our old worship leaders. And I hadn't seen them in so long and I was tired. And the first thing I thought in my head was, bye, I'm going home. My kids are acting crazy. I can't wait to leave. You know, like I need to put them to bed and I need to go to bed. And I started talking to them and we started talking about just what God is doing and how God is changing lives. Man, my attitude changed fast because there was my spirit man. Needed that. My spirit man needed to be in fellowship about the things of God and needed to hear the good stories and needed to hear what God is doing in other parts of this. See, this is really not about us. We can get real selfish. But going to church and doing this is not just for you, but it's for your family. Your family needs you to be in the house of God and to serve in the house of God. Make time to serve. Make time to receive from the Lord, okay? You have to make time for that because it doesn't come natural, guys. Your family depends on your relationship with God. Your church needs you, and you need your church, okay? In the house of God, you will get refreshed, filled, changed, loved, and you will live in his presence. You will also get to use your talents for Jesus. There's nothing like that. In Psalms 92:13, just write these references down. I'll go through it fast. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I don't know about you, but I want to flourish. Now you say, why is that? Do you ever look at people and go, why are they so blessed? So annoying. But they looks like they got everything. Looks like they got. Listen, how many times are those people in church? You won't know because you ain't there. I'm serious. You know, how many times are those people on their knees in the middle of the night praying for something other than themselves? Instead of asking God for something, they're asking and praying for someone else and loving on other people. How many times are those people serving someone else in the body of Christ? See, you don't know. So before you start judging and saying that they're so blessed and how dare they, and da-da-da, you don't know. You know, you could look at like Creflo Dollar and all these people and say, oh, they're so blessed. Yeah, but they work their butts off. You know, they love the house of God. They've been faithful to the Lord, and there is blessing in serving God. There is blessing in being planted in the house of God. So don't not be planted. You get a blessing from it. Psalms 84:4 says, blessed are those who dwell in the house. They will still be praising you. I don't know about you, but I love praising God. So you just keep praising God, guys. Get planted, okay? And third or fourth one, my point is you. When you get run down and broken, listen, God is there. There's many times. The other day I had had a really crazy late night. Like, every kid woke up at the wrong time, not at the same time. So, and Dan was preaching that weekend. And so pretty much Dan had no idea they were waking up. It was me taking care of everybody. And then in the morning, we live on this road, and there's sirens, and the helicopters were, like, going crazy. And I was just like, oh, my God. So I couldn't go back to sleep. So pretty much I just got up because it was like, this is stupid. Who needs to sleep, you know? So I got up, and I was really crabby. And Dan's like, woo, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm like, you don't even know. You slept, you know, like that's, I was feeling that way. You slept, buddy, you know. And I told Dan, the first thing I said to him, I said, I can't even look at the kids right now. I can't look at you. I need to go in my closet and I need to pray, because I could tell, like, this was not going to be a good day if I didn't get alone with the Lord. And I went in my closet. I pulled out my Bible. I started praying. I put on praise and worship music on my little iPhone, used Pandora, and put in a good worship artist, and all the good praise and worship will come up. And I just got with the Lord, and I'm telling you, I was refreshed, like as if I had slept for like 10 hours. And I was so happy that the kid, Dan was like, oh my gosh, he was like, revitalized, like, you're a different person. I'm like, I'm telling you, there's nothing like being with God. So girls, for your own sake, go get alone. Find a place in your house. You know, my mom used to say hers was the bathroom. Mine is my closet. They knock on my door, believe me. The dog even puts his paw under the door. I'm like, go away, you know. Finally, they stop knocking, and finally they realize I ain't coming out. So just stick to it. I put a little sign above my closet, and it says prayer changes things. Because that's my place to go get with God. When my heart is broken, when I'm weary, when I'm tired, when I feel like I can't do it anymore and I need to be refreshed, that's what I do. And then in Philemon 1:20, it says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Maybe you just need a good refreshing sometimes. You're a little drawn out, broken down, busted, and disgusted. No, you just need to be refreshed in the things of God. You can look for it in the world, but it will never satisfy your soul. The Lord is the only one that will satisfy you. Psalms 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. You see, stop putting your trust in the things of man and put your trust back in the things of God. Get yourself refreshed. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and heavy laden. Listen, girls, you don't stop. That like, you probably don't even have an alarm. I don't have an alarm. I'm always up before, you know? And if you go through a Real Housewives day before 12 o'clock, it's nuts. All the meals you've made, all the things you've already cleaned, all the diapers you've changed, all the toilet potty training you've done, the dog, the family, the laundry, the kids. I've done all of that before 12 o'clock. And there's been times that I'm like, I saw your post the other day. Man, you did it, girl. And woot, woot. And she said, I did it. It was a good day. Woot, woot. I love that. You have to cheer yourself on. You do have to be your own cheerleader. And you are amazing. It's amazing what we can accomplish as women if we don't complain, if we don't give up, if we don't give in to the wiles of the devil, but we plug into God, we get refreshed. And even if that's a 10-minute time with the Lord or a couple-minute time with the Lord, do it. You need it, okay? Love when it is not convenient to love, ladies. Give when it looks like there's nothing more to give. Hug when you just don't want to be touched. Because he gave his life and he sacrificed everything for us. And he deserves us to do that for him and his people. And his people are those little people that you are over and that you have been trusted with. Okay? So I know that that was a lot of information. But next week we're going to just touch on parenting. So bring your spanking sticks. We're going to have examples. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We love you guys. You're amazing. I hope that wasn't too much, but go get refreshed. Go find a friend. Go take your husband's shoes off for him.
Can you remind them sign-ups for the 4th of July?
Oh, yeah.
Can you just
and then
them?
We need some, girls, real quick. Remember how I said volunteer? We need sign-ups for 4th of July. If you guys are available, maybe you could sign up for just a little part of it. They need sign-ups. They need help for the 4th. If you're available. If you're not, don't overcommit. But if you can, that would be great. It'll be on the back table over here. Thank you. We love you. Yeah.